Wisconsin has one of the most accessible court databases in the country. Anybody can log on to its popular CCAP website and find court records on just about anybody who has a certain type of charge against them. But some say this database is being misused and the information available to us should be restricted. Do you agree? That's our big question this week. Good morning. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The state legislature held a public hearing. Rather, the assembly held a public hearing last week on this matter. They've introduced a bill that would remove court cases from the website where a defendant was found not guilty, acquitted, the charges were dropped, or the case was overturned on appeal. Two guests join us this hour to debate the issue. Bill Leaders is the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Glenn Grothman is a Republican state senator from West Bend and assistant Senate majority leader. He's a co-sponsor of a bill that would pull certain records from CCAP. Senator Grothman, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be on the Ideas Network.
Well, let's start with some opening statements here. Senator Grothman, I'll start with you. Why should certain court records be removed from the circuit court website?
Well, the website is something that anybody can reach. You know, when we were children, or I assume when most of your listeners were children, court records were in the courthouse, and it wasn't a matter of just getting on a computer and seeing what somebody did 40 years ago, say when they were 19 years old. Today, CCAP, and something that kind of offends me, even of people who are guilty of crimes, if you do something wrong when you're 18 or 19 years old, when you're 50 or 60 years old, it's still on that website for all to see. So you can see your entire background. Actually, being on that website is almost more of a punishment than paying a fine or spending a couple months in jail. After all, in the past, if you spent a couple months in jail for doing a dumb thing when you were 18, it was forgotten about. Now it's something for everybody to see to hear on out. Now, this bill, of course, is not removing things like a disorderly conduct or whatever crime you had 30 years ago. This is just removing crimes of which you were not convicted. You might have been found innocent. Maybe it was dropped for lack of evidence or whatever, but it seems that in a country in which you're supposed to be, you have to be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, to put something on a website which will forever damage your employment prospects, maybe how a landlord looks at you, maybe how a future boyfriend, girlfriend looks at you, is offensive. And that's why, if you are not convicted of a crime, that should be removed.
And Bill Leaders, why do you think that it's a bad idea to restrict access to some of these records?
Well, the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council fundamentally disagrees with the notion that if you have a perceived problem with public information, that the solution is to take away public access to that information. First of all, I don't think it's a successful approach. If you take away the information that the senator wants to take away on CCAP, it's still going to be available from other providers. In fact, it's going to be a boon for those other providers who collect this information and will sell it to people and make it available that way. It will dramatically undercut the site's usefulness. It will no longer be an authoritative source of what happens in our circuit court system. It's going to turn it instead into a compendium of guilty people. And those individuals for whom Senator Grothman sympathizes who have criminal convictions in their past, I suspect that the change he's advocating in the law is going to make matters worse for them, because now WCCA is not, CCAP as it's called, is not going to have all of the information of activity that happens in the courts. It's just going to be a list of the guilty. And that is going to be more readily abused by people who are inclined to abuse it. But I think fundamentally, the people of the state of Wisconsin can be trusted to make rational judgments about the information they see on the system. It is within our ability to see that a charge has been dismissed or that a defendant has been found not guilty, and to interpret that and to process that and to put it into its proper perspective, not to wig out and decide I'm going to discriminate against someone even though it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. Bill, let me follow up with you for a moment. How exactly would individuals or organizations abuse this, what you call a compendium of the guilty, if they're already in the database, for example? So what's the difference when they're the only people in the database?
Well, the The accusation is that people who use the system to screen applicants are rejecting everyone who has any sort of a criminal record. Now, the state law is very clear that you can deny employment to someone if they have a criminal conviction that is substantially related to the job that you're having. If you have someone who has a history of stealing money from an employer, you don't have to employ them as a bank teller. But unless if it's not substantially related, the law says you cannot discriminate. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard over the years in being an advocate for openness on the system, I've heard a number of representative of employers testify credibly that they use the system as the law prescribes, that if they see a criminal conviction that is not substantially related to the job that they're seeking to hire someone for, they don't take it into account. I've also heard representatives of landlord associations tell me what goes through their mind when they look up someone on CCAP. They're thinking, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Not, oh, please, let me find some little thing in this person's past that I can hold against them, but, oh, please, let it be okay that I can rent to this person and start taking their money. That's what they want. They're not out there looking for every little thing. They're out trying to do due diligence to make sure that the people that they put into apartments don't have a history of attacking their neighbors or using their dwellings to deal drugs or other offenses that they should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Senator Grothman, what about you and Bill's suggestion here to allow users to discern what not guilty means or to parse through and give them the responsibility not to discriminate?
Well, Bill, I like Bill, but he has no common sense here. You and I both know, or I assume most of your listeners all know, that if in the paper tomorrow you hear that your next-door neighbor was arrested for child abuse or was arrested for battery, and eventually the charges are dropped, to a degree you kind of think there must have been something there. Or we think, and sometimes justifiably so, that if the charges were dropped, they were probably guilty, they just didn't have enough evidence to convict that person. Of course, if you put on CCAP that somebody was arrested for a crime and it's dropped, it causes you to raise an eyebrow. Now, I suppose if you're a landlord or you're a prospective employer, you may decide to think that, well, you know, this wasn't that bad or they weren't convicted. And Bill's probably right. I think landlords hope to be able to take somebody's money. But it's not necessarily that way. And I think we all know that many people believe that if you're arrested, but the charges are dropped, there probably just wasn't enough evidence, and it's always something they hold against you to a certain degree. Whether that should be out there, like on a billboard today, for everybody to look at, I think you have to wonder. And I would argue that, given that I think most people think, perhaps rightfully so, that if you come in contact with the police and you're arrested, you were doing something wrong, we have to decide whether that access should be so easy for everybody. You know, CCAP didn't exist 20 years ago, or it began to come into existence around 20 years ago. And prior to that time, we didn't think there was restriction on what was going in government to freedom of the press. These records will still be available in the courthouses for people who want to do the work to find them. But it won't be so easy for people to dig into somebody's past. And quite frankly, I wouldn't mind if the law went further than this and didn't just remove charges in which people were convicted. I think it's unfortunate that the access is going to be so easy for the rest of your life, even for charges in which you are convicted. I mean, I can think of people that I know of who, when I was much younger, maybe did commit crimes when they were 18 or 19 years old. They've since developed, you know, middle class, upper middle class, bourgeois lifestyle. Okay? I don't know whether they would have been able to develop that if the crimes that they committed when they were 18 or 19 or crime they committed was out there forever for everybody to see. I think it's unfortunate what's become of our society as we develop these databases for people to look at whatever you did for the rest of your life. And the idea of even holding this out there when the charges were dropped. Perhaps the charges were dropped and were found entirely innocent. It's just a little bit mean-spirited.
We're talking with Senator Glenn Grothman. He's a Republican state senator from West Bend and Assistant Senate Majority Leader. He co-sponsored a bill that would pull certain records from the Wisconsin Circuit Court website database. Bill Leaders is also with us. He is the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and we're tackling this week's big question. Should certain court records be restricted from public access on the Wisconsin State Circuit Court website? 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, or you can also leave a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Don't forget to vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's this week's big question. Should this circuit court website database be restricted to certain charges, guilty charges, and have others dismissed? We're talking with Bill Leaders, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and Glenn Grothman. He's a Republican state senator from West Bend, an assistant Senate majority leader. He co-sponsored a bill that would pull certain records from CCAP. Bill, let's toss the next question to you. Supporters of the proposal, including Glenn Grothman, he's been airing his concerns here about the fact, the permanence, I guess, of these records on the state website and how they might affect a person's life later on. Does that concern you?
Well, to the extent
There you go.
The extent that Senator Grothman is right, that there are consequences to having databases that list what people have done in their past, he can't solve that problem by neutering CCAP. He can't fix that issue by taking away certain information from what is now the state's most authoritative source of data about what happens in our circuit courts. There's still going to be newspaper archives if you're charged with a crime and there's a newspaper article about it. That's still going to be available online and it's going to show up in a Google search. There's still going to be these private providers that will collect data about what happens in the courts and sell it to people for, you know, $10 a search or $30 for access for an entire year, where they come up every time you type someone's name into Google. You can see those businesses are out there. They're ready to start profiting from their ability to charge for information that people can now get. They don't have the same checks on accuracy that WCCA has. There is a value to having comprehensive information about what happens in our court system. Just think of this. If Senator Grothman's bill were to pass, you would no longer be able to go on to CCAP and find that Senator Brian Burke, a member of the legislature, was charged with 14 counts, 14 criminal charges, because he was only convicted of two or three of them. Same with Chuck Quala, Senator Chuck Quala, who was charged with multiple counts, convicted of only a small number of them. All those other counts are going to disappear unless they were read in for sentencing. So it would turn the system into something that is no longer reliable as a source of information. Let me give you another example. As a reporter, I'm frequently told that prosecutors engage in overcharging, that they will they'll pile on charges in certain cases, and they'll charge someone with eight offenses because they want to force them into a plea agreement where they agreed to plead guilty to one. If this were to go through, all of those charges that they brought because they're piling on would disappear. In fact, every prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin would have a 100% conviction record on every charge that he or she brought, because that's all you would be able to see on the system is the time that they won. I don't think that's a step in a positive direction.
Senator Grothman.
Well, a couple things. First of all, it is true in high-profile cases that make the newspapers, you get a Google search. A lot of things, I'm not sure what, are not on Google. Okay, I mean, if you Google maybe something on the Associated Press, certainly something regarding Chuck Quall or Brian Burke, that's going to appear on a Google search. But the vast majority of crimes do not make the newspaper. It may be true, or there certainly will be true, that maybe some organizations for a fee will try to disclose this, but it's for a fee. It's not like it is right now, where it's so easy for anybody to casually check in and spread gossip about their next-door neighbor or this sort of thing. It will require a little bit of work to get that stuff, just as it required work 21 years ago. I'll give you an example. There's somebody I ran into recently who claims they have a client or somebody they're trying to help. This person, somebody else gave their name when they were arrested. And apparently this person worked their way all the way through the court system, including a guilty plea, on somebody else. Okay? Now, right now, that person's name appears on the court system because somebody else used their name. Now, this bill really... Now, what they eventually did is, I guess the Milwaukee courts gave this person a letter saying that this Jim Johnson, or whatever his name is not the Jim Johnson who committed trouble, if this person has to carry that around.
Senator Grothman, we are losing you on the phone connection, so we're going to see if we can fix that. But, Bill, do you have any immediate response to that?
Well, I think that the story that the senator tells is wrong. I think that he needs to investigate it more thoroughly, because I was on the committee that set policy for CCAP, and I was there when we came up with a policy that allows people who are the victims of stolen identity to have that information corrected. That is one virtue of CCAP that isn't available necessarily through these private companies that call and sell that information. So in that circumstance, the individual would have a remedy under existing law. Now, are there cases where someone has a name like Jim Jones or Robert Smith and they can be confused? Absolutely. The solution to that is more information, not less. Periodically, people say, well, why would you put a person's address on CCAP? Why would you allow that? Why would you allow their date of birth or any other identifying information? Well, it's so that you don't confuse the Robert Smith who committed a serious crime with the Robert Smith who didn't. There's a value and a virtue and a logic to providing fuller, comprehensive information and to taking steps to make sure that people have the tools they need to interpret that correctly. That's another thing that the overseers of CCAP have done over the years, is they have put disclaimers up front. So when you go and you look someone up and there's a dismissed charge, this is the case that the senator is particularly concerned with, or someone is found not guilty, before you even get to the information, you come to a field that says the charges against this individual were dismissed. As a matter of law, the person is not guilty. Furthermore, here is the rule of the road with regard to employment. You're not allowed to discriminate against this person in hiring unless there's a conviction substantially related, blah, blah. All of that is stated out front as the very first field that you see as a matter of policy, in order to provide people with the information and the tools they need to make the correct judgment about the information that's there.
We heard from Michael on Facebook. If the current database does not accurately reflect all charges, it is already flawed and should be changed to show everything, including dropped charges and acquittals. Many years after the fact, there are death row inmates acquitted of crimes. There are also people who seem to be charged with lots of crimes yet never convicted. In either case, you have the right to know the background. Bill Leaders, let's get your response first.
I agree. And I think that people are able to make rational judgments about it. You can see that somebody has been charged with something, and maybe it is something that you want to know in certain circumstances. And maybe it's something that you want to get more information about in certain circumstances. And maybe it's something that you have the intelligence and the decency to process in a rational way.
Senator Grothman, were you able to hear that
right.
Facebook comment?
Right. I'd have to ask Bill if somebody he knew, maybe a child, was, say, charged with child abuse and it was dropped, would he want that child's name out there forever charged with abuse of a child and charges dropped, and just assume that for the rest of his son's life, that people would make a rational decision that they should ignore this because the charges were dropped and presumably they were innocent? Would that bother him? Or we'd say, I think people are very adult about this. It was just a one-time thing that appeared on CCAP, and I'm sure there was nothing of it.
Let me give you a slightly different example, and I'm going to grab the bull by the horns here. You're saying that people sometimes make judgments about others based on charges that are dismissed. And I'm going to give you an example where maybe they should. Say there's somebody who is charged with child molestation and, kids are young. They don't make good witnesses. He's charged, but the charges are dismissed. He's found not guilty. Then it happens again. He's charged a second time and a third time, and it comes to court and he's found not guilty. Or the district attorney decides he can't bring the case forward because the kid is just too young. And you've got three or four of these cases against the same individual. And then he moves in next door to you and he starts showing an interest in your kids. And you think he's a pretty nice guy, but you want to check him out. Do you really want it to be impossible for the people of the state to find out that this individual has been charged on three separate occasions with child molestation? Do you really want that to be the policy of this state?
And Senator Grothman, just a few seconds to respond before news, and we can pick it up after the news as well.
I suppose you can think of hypotheticals. In our system, they're guilty. It's guilty, and you have to be shown guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I realize there's some people who don't like that standard. They want to penalize people even if they don't reach that standard. I don't think we want to go there, but apparently I'm aware of that argument. A lot of people are charged with crimes that are probably guilty and things are being dropped. And the charges are dropped, so we should penalize them anyway.
Senator,
away from my kid.
Okay. Senator Grothman is here to talk with us, as so is Bill Leaders. He's president of the Freedom of Information Council, talking about court records on the Wisconsin Circuit Court website, whether certain records should be removed if a person's been acquitted, found not guilty, and so on. You can vote in our poll at WPR.org/joy, and we'll pick up the discussion after the news. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. It's the big question. Should someone's criminal records be removed from the state's online court database if that person has been acquitted, charges are dropped, or the case is overturned on appeal? We turn that question to you this hour as well. You can vote at WPR.org/joy, or you can call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, and you can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. My guests this hour are Bill Leaders, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and Senator Glenn Grothman, a Republican state senator from West Bend and assistant Senate majority leader. He introduced a bill, co-sponsored a bill, rather, that would pull certain records from CCAP. Let's go right to the phones in the second half here and talk to Chris in Madison. Hi, Chris.
Oh, man. You know, it's a cold day in Wisconsin when it's snowing in Georgia, and I'm going to agree with Glenn Grossman. excuse me, I have a cold. I moved into a house in Madison. I rented out a room. And the state of Wisconsin, in its infinite responsibility, planted a whole bunch of violent felons in this house who were opening the doors to every drug dealer in downtown Madison. And I kept calling the police. Now, Mr. Leaders, you just simply do not have a grip on the fact that the authorities, the police and the sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin, are corrupt and don't know the law. And I kept calling the cops because I kept getting assaulted and robbed. And I kept getting arrested. I spent time in jail because now this stuff is on my record. It's sitting there because I just copped a plea to get the hell out of the jail. And the police are not responsible. I don't know who's training them, but they don't know the law. And they're arresting people all the time on the basis of garbage. And I could not get those other people arrested for doing bad things to me.
Okay. Well, Chris, thanks for that call. Bill, what's your response to that?
I'm not sure I want to respond to it. I have respect for the law enforcement community. I don't think that police and other officials don't know or don't care about the law. And I simply don't agree with the premise of the caller.
Bill, you're naive. Police do sometimes arrest the wrong people or just arrest somebody because they think they're out of line.
Understood. But they're not willfully ignorant of the law. They're not corrupt.
Actually,
as a rule, they are not corrupt.
Corrupt is a strong word. I think I can think of a police officer who, without going into it, told me that sometimes they charge people with crimes knowing that they would be dismissed at the next level, but because they didn't like what that person was doing, they knew they were going to force them to get a lawyer to get off, and that would discourage this behavior.
I can tell you right now that there are Madison police officers who are slapping their knees and laughing, because I've been a reporter who has covered police and courts for years, and I'm regarded as a very hard-nosed person when it comes to that. I've written a book about abuses by the Madison Police Department, and here I am defending their honor against a Republican state senator. I'm sure someone is finding this funny.
Let's move on to another Chris in Green Bay. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thank you. There's a big flaw that the senator is not seeing, and that is that this information is already out there. And organizations like Gannett News or whatever is going to post it, whatever they find, and they're not going to give all the details of what, the person was acquitted of or found not guilty of. Also, why not do something simple, like just change the font? You know, make the font red if they're guilty and smaller if they're not guilty. Thank you. Bye.
Senator Grothman, let's toss that at you first.
Change the font. The point is that people will say that people will feel that if somebody was charged with a crime and they were not convicted, they will assume they are guilty. And quite frankly, I think there are times when that is true. The charges are dropped for lack of evidence. But let's say if someone is charged with a crime and the charges are dropped, it's a 2/3 chance they're guilty. That may be entirely reasonable. Okay, if there's a 2/3 chance you're guilty, you want that to be out there so the average person thinks, maybe I better look out for it. Maybe he's one of the few people who was arrested and are really innocent, but they're probably guilty, so I'm going to check that off on this person that I don't want this person to be my tenant or my employee or my daughter's boyfriend, or I'm just going to gossip about this person throughout my apartment complex or what have you. I mean, traditionally, it's been guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. This flips it around. It says you are guilty until really proven innocent or everybody knows the individual facts of this case. I mean, it's just a change the way we do things. And normally we don't allow police to convict people just upon their arrest. And that's what you're doing. That's what Bill wants.
No, that's not what I want. What I want is for you to listen to the way that you're framing the argument, which is that you don't think that other people have the ability to make sound and rational and discerning judgments about public information. But I bet you think that you do. And I hear this all the time among critics of the system. They, personally, being the good people that they are, being the intelligent, enlightened individuals that they are, can make rational, discerning judgments about others. They can see that a charge was dismissed and say, maybe it never should have been brought. They can see that a person was found guilty and say, well, they're entitled to the presumption of innocence. But they don't think that other people who aren't them have the ability to reach those same rational, reasonable, and sensible conclusions. And I just don't think that's a fair way to judge our fellow citizens.
No, I think if somebody is arrested for a crime, they're usually guilty, and that's the way it will be taken, but not necessarily guilty. And the question is, traditionally, before we punish people in society, we say guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Being on CCAP is a punishment in and of itself, and you are, in essence, changing what you need to punish somebody from guilty beyond a reasonable doubt to guilt. So the policeman thought they were guilty before he had all the facts in, and I just don't think that's right.
Walk me through that logic, because I just have a quick question about that. If a court record is on the website that says that they're guilty, they've already been through the system, and a judge or a jury or someone has already issued that sentence, is it not?
No. What I'm saying is this. I think when a person is charged with a crime or arrested, they are probably guilty, most often. I don't know what percentage of time, 60%, 65%. Right now, because we like to protect the innocent, we say before we punish you, you have to be found guilty, guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. When you put something on CCAP, you are being punished, okay? But the standard is dropped. You are being punished no longer because you are found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You're found guilty if a police officer or upon first review an assistant district attorney thought you might be guilty. That's lowering the standard dramatically in which you're punished. And right now, under CCAP, punished for the rest of your life. And like I said, I don't even like CCAP when for certain minor crimes, it's on there forever. Even if you were guilty, I think it's a step backwards in our society that when you're 19 years old, you can do something for everybody to find out when you're 60, as opposed to the way it was 25 years ago when it was stuffed away in some filing cabinet somewhere.
You're seeing the availability of information as a punishment, and I'm saying that's not necessarily so. There are even circumstances, I imagine, where people know that others know that they were charged with a certain offense because, you know, it's a small community and everyone knows what happens, or it was in the newspaper. And the fact that they can go to CCAP and point and they can show, hey, this charge was dismissed. What's more, it was dismissed on the prosecutor's motion. Even the prosecutor agreed after the charge was brought that there wasn't enough evidence to go forward. Look at that. That backs me up. I'm sure there are people who benefit from that level of disclosure and accuracy.
Let's take another call from Kirsten in Oshkosh. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'd like to draw a picture of my experience. I've been on both sides of the coin here. And I think we have to bring in the reality of the human component. I agree with the senator in that, you know, I had been charged with a domestic disturbance, some type of charge that way about 10 years ago. Otherwise, a perfectly clean record criminally. I mean, I've never even been pulled over driving before. And it was because I had called 911 when I was being assaulted. And I had to be taken in. And I understand this is not corruption. This is the law in that we didn't have a witness, and so both of us needed to be pulled in. Well, in any case, 10 years later, you know, I've been in human resources, recruiting and hiring. And I have, and I'm admittedly saying this, judged those exact individuals that I once was, as I was accused. My charge was dropped, but I was still on CCAP. And then here I am 10 years later realizing that I have the critical eye for the people that were in my same position. So we can say that we can suppose that people are going to do the right thing and that they can, you know, think, yeah, this person didn't do this, they're not convicted, and so there was no issue here. But the reality is the judgment is passed regardless because it's posted there.
So are you saying that even though you have a personal experience of having been charged and knowing that there was more to the story than the charge, that you don't give others the benefit of that doubt, that you will discriminate against an applicant if they have the same thing on their experience in their background, despite your own experience? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that, yes. I'm saying that I have discovered myself having that critical eye that the senator fears others have.
Okay.
Of course, I know the difference, but I'm saying I believe it's a human condition issue. I've noticed the same in myself, yes.
Okay. Thanks
for
that.
Right, and I think that's obvious. If you see a charge related to domestic assault dropped, now, I'll believe this woman that she was innocent, but your first thing is, well, maybe her boyfriend just didn't want to press charges, but she's probably a violent hothead. Okay, now it only happened once, and maybe you give a person a pass on once, but I think normally when you see charge with domestic abuse drop, you may think, you know, they did something and their boyfriend or girlfriend didn't show up. Not that the cop just felt on the spur of the moment he had to arrest everybody. And I think it's a perfect example of something that I feel bad that it's forever on this woman's record.
Bill, did you have any further reaction?
I just think we have to do more than take away information. We have to educate people to be responsible users of public information. We have to reinforce what we've tried to tell them all their lives, what their parents have said, what their schools have said, what their churches have said, that you need to be a decent person. You need to accept that other people make mistakes, that not everyone is perfect. In fact, nobody is perfect, and that we shouldn't be defined by the worst thing that we ever did or the one bad thing we did, and we shouldn't automatically be presumed to be guilty simply because you were charged. All of those things are within our capacity as a society to make reasonable, rational judgments about.
Senator Grossman, Bill had mentioned earlier that CCAP is an important tool for journalists. How concerned are you about journalistic integrity if a reporter can't get online and get what they need out of the database?
CCAP is something like 24 years old, something like that, 24, 25 years old. I never felt in the 1980s or 1990s when I was reading a newspaper article that the reporters were doing a bad job. At the time, I think you could probably check into things in the local courthouse if you were writing an article about that person. But it would take a little bit more, so it would only be certain cases in which the reporters would check into it, and it wouldn't be so easy to access stuff in other courthouses. Again, I didn't feel I was not getting the full story reading the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the 1970s or 1980s before CCAP, so it really doesn't bother me that it's not so easy for reporters to report charges that are dropped.
Bill.
The last time that I was in this studio on Wisconsin Public Radio talking to Cynthia was about a month ago, and it was because I did a story for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about payments that are made by the state of Wisconsin to people whose hound dogs are killed while they are hunting. And what I did to research that story is I looked up all 150 individuals who have received payments from the state after their hound dogs were killed while hunting on CCAP, and I saw that a number of them had criminal convictions for hunting offenses, and I did a story based on that. Now, that story would not have been doable 20 years ago. That story is not doable without CCAP. There are 150 individuals. There are 72 different counties. Hunting offenses commonly occur in a county besides where a person lives. So the only way I could do that would to have access to a computerized system that brings me instantaneously to all 72 counties. I wasn't going to go do 150 in-person checks at 72 counties. That's what the senator says. Oh, you could have just done that. No, you can't.
Well, there's an example of a mean-spirited story we didn't have to see. Again, these may or may not be bad people, but you get on CCAP and something bad that somebody did 5 or 8 or 12 years ago, that defines that person. And, you know, I mean, to me, if somebody commits a hunting offense, you know, is it that important that I have to know that 11 years ago somebody did something or other, or that it has to be rebroadcast in the newspaper after I already paid my fine? I'm not sure that I'm thrilled to find that out. Bill,
well,
maybe.
You know, I think there are people who thought that was useful to know, that state dollars are going to individuals when they lose a dog hunting, even though they have been convicted of criminal offenses for hunting-related violations. I think some people benefited from having that information. And I think maybe the state policymakers ought to think twice about paying money to people, even though they have shown that they have disregard for the state's hunting laws.
Bill, that's an entirely another issue, but you're wrong again. You mean that if you lose a hunting dog and you committed another crime 5 years before that, the state shouldn't reimburse you for your hunting dog?
Well, the issue is whether people who lose these hunting dogs are putting these dogs at undue risk because they know that they can get $2,500 from the state of Wisconsin should these dogs be torn apart by wolves. And that is what the accusation is. And I think in assessing whether that's a credible accusation, it helps people to know that some of these individuals who have successfully recovered $2,500 payments in the state time and time again are people who have broken the state's hunting laws.
So if you want to learn more about that story and that issue, you could go back and listen to the interview that we did on the State Capitol Report about a month ago. We are out of time, and we want to get our callers in on the sound off. But Senator Grossman, I wanted you to tell us a little bit about a hearing that's coming up. Am I right in that? Is there a hearing on this tomorrow?
Yes, there'll be a hearing in the Senate Judiciary Capitol tomorrow morning. So if somebody wants to weigh in before the legislators, tomorrow's the chance.
And where and when?
I do not know the room it's in right now.
Okay.
I think it's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. All righty. Well, thank you both for being here on The Big Question. We have Senator Grothman. He's a Republican state senator from West Bend and assistant Senate majority leader. He is a co-sponsor of a bill that would pull certain records from CCAP, and Bill Leaders, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Thank you both for being with me today.
Thank you.
Glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Me too.
And Bill said me too. I potted down his mic before you could hear it. I want to thank you for listening to the program. You can call in with your sound off at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We'll give each caller 30 seconds to sound off on this topic and answer the question. Should the state remove records from its online court database if someone has been acquitted, charges were dropped, or a case is overturned on appeal? The answers, you can also vote online at WPR.org/joy. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's The Big Question, and we're taking your sound off on whether or not certain court records should be removed from the state database. The question on the table is, should records be removed if someone's been acquitted, charges are dropped, or the case is overturned on appeal? You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And don't forget to vote on our online poll at WPR.org/joy. Raymond and Merrill is on the line. Hi, Raymond.
Good morning. I basically agree with the senator with the idea of presumption of innocence, although when he said that two-thirds of all people who are arrested are probably guilty, he kind of betrayed his own ideal there a little bit. But I think a simple solution would be all the stuff that where a person was not found guilty will still be stored, but you would have to go to the individual and get their password, maybe their state ID number, and then you can go in and you can look at that stuff with them and say, here's what happened. Rather than, because the people who say that people go out there and look on it for purient reasons is absolutely correct. The other thing is, are you really going to rely on something as simple as a database like that to think you're going to protect your kids in the event that there's a predator or a dope dealer or something? I would never lower my standards.
Raymond,
that.
You're doing a lot more. Your 30 seconds are up. I'm so sorry. Let's go to Benjamin in Saukville. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, I think that the records should stay online because it ends up being an argument of what's more important, protecting people's lives and their children or protecting people's feelings. And I think it's important that we shouldn't offend anyone, but we should not try to put our children or our families or our communities at risk just because some people might be offended because people think they were convicted or not convicted and what have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin. Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I think the whole CCAP thing should be taken offline. If you want to go and look up your neighbors, you should have to get off your lazy butt, go to a state building, go to a monitor that's not connected to the Internet, and look them up. This is a lot like communist Russia, where you can spy on your neighbors, spy on your friends. I could spy on any one of you people that are sitting here on the radio right now, your families, your friends. I can look up all this information on you right now. I think it's hurting more people. And it's helping.
Mike, thank you so much for your call, and thanks to all who voted in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. You can still sound off through that poll online. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour, Christy Taylor for on-air direction, and Robin Cherry for on-air production. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.